Welcome to another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin. Now, there's been a lot of stuff going on in the media, and I go to the gym every morning, and what I hear all the time is the Crows fans and the Port Power fans constantly telling each other and anyone who will listen how bad their teams are this year and who should be selected and what should happen to the coach, etc. So we've got some special guests in today who are Crows support. One is a Crows supporter and one is a strong Port Adelaide supporter.
Strong?
Yeah,
that's
very
a bit
strong.
Bit of a strong word.
But let's welcome John Stimpson. John, who do you support?
I support Adelaide in the AFL.
How long have you supported them?
Since the first game in 1991. I went and saw the game against the Hawks where we won, and the next day I became a member and been a member since.
Wow, so you've been to most games every year at home?
Pretty much, other than a couple of years living away overseas, but yes.
How many last quarters have you missed?
I always stay to the end. Although this year I felt like leaving a few times early.
There's been a lot of criticism of the Crow supporters leaving early.
No.
And interesting, my son now works on the trains and he's been working the football and he says the Crows people get to the station much earlier than the Port Power supporters. That's what he told me the other day.
That's because we've been losing earlier in the game.
And let's welcome Nathan McGrath, who's... I get it mixed. Is it Port Power, Port Adelaide? I don't know.
It's Port Adelaide Football Club.
Oh, it's Port Adelaide Football Club.
A simpleton could understand that.
See, I'm a simpleton.
So you do understand it?
Oh, well, yes.
Good.
Now,
I'm not sure you do.
How long have you been a Port Adelaide Football Club supporter?
Well,
how did that start?
Well, I got off the boat in 2007.
Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Wales, as you can tell by the beautiful accent. And my first day here, I went to a showdown. And I'd done a bit of research before, and being interested in history and sort of real clubs, I decided Port Adelaide was the club I'd go for.
So you came in 2007.
I did.
That was a good year for Port. They made it to the grand final.
They won a lot of games that year.
Yeah, they did very well.
There's one game they didn't win very well, but that's part of the game.
So let's move on, because we don't want to get caught up. We know who you support.
Central District, get it on
the
book.
And then let's get on the book. Now, I want to talk to Nathan first, because there's been a really interesting move this year to actually and bring back the bars, the prison bars, which Nathan will talk a little bit. It's not actually prison bars, but he's been pushing that and actually started that movement, and it's really gathered some momentum. So it'll be great to get Nathan on, have a chat about that actual process and how it began and where it is right now.
I'll just say one thing first, and that's I agree that they should have it, because why don't they have the original Guernsey from the start and just have a change Guernsey when they play Sydney? So I'm with you on that one.
Oh, well, when they play Sydney or when they play Collingwood either, yeah. Okay, we've got to change song when we play Sydney, I guess, rather than change Guernsey.
Well, Port could actually have one of the original Guernseys, which I understand was pink and white.
No, it was magenta. It was magenta.
No, we're actually wearing blue and white on May the 14th next year, May the 24th, sorry.
Port they had four or five different colour changes in their first 30 years, but they've been black and white since about 1901.
Yep. 1901. Last year, at the end of the year, we were all a bit disenfranchised and disenchanted as Port fans. So one of the things I did, I started a Bring Back the Bars campaign, knowing that 2020 is the 150th anniversary of the club, and saying, okay, it's time now. If we're going to ever wear the prison bars again, it'll be in 2020. So I contacted a load of people at the club, and I wanted to basically change our effective constitution to have them fighting permanently for the prison bars. And I actually got quite a lot of support from people from outside the club. So started a petition up, and the petition's currently on about 13,000 people.
Wow.
And that's only Port people. We haven't actually opened it to the broader thing.
I think you'll get some support from most of them.
The way we're doing it, though, we want it to be just a Port-driven thing at the moment. If we'd ever needed to go outside of that, we'd go to the greater AFL community.
Just don't go to Collingwood.
Just don't go to Collingwood. Oh, well, actually, I get lots of emails from Collingwood fans who are really supportive of it as well. We've got my Facebook page, Instagram, the lot. It's actually taken off. I've met with the club a few times as well, and they're really pushing hard for the prison bars. There's an agreement in 2007 that we'd only wear in Heritage Round, but that was the year they stopped doing Heritage Round. Funny that, isn't it? So we're actually pushing to have it back next year. Now, I think we'll get it for both showdowns at least next year.
So you've certainly made some ground. You're saying for both showdowns. And what's you're saying 220, so next year, where do you think it will end up? Like, do you think we'll get to the point where Port Adelaide Football Club will wear the prison bars for nearly all of their games? Maybe with the game that we've been, like, obviously against Collingwood, which is one of the major issues, holding them back?
No, I think it'll be for showdowns and Anzac Day.
Okay.
And being Port Adelaide, we've also got at least one premiership to celebrate every year for the next 30-odd years.
Yeah, I think...
There's premiership anniversaries that come up all time.
Very similar to Central District.
There's premiership anniversaries come up all the time. So the AFL, I think, will agree to us win it for special occasions. I think they'll class the showdown as special occasions and they'll class any anniversaries as special occasions. And I know they're going to be wearing it next year for the anniversary game that we win, the blue and white stripes.
I think that's great. I mean, I'm not a Port fan by any means, but no. I am a footy historian, and I think, honestly, I back you on that. I think it's a great idea.
I think as a Crow supporter, absolutely they should be able to wear the pier or jetty Guernsey, as it was.
Pylons.
So I think it'd be a very good thing. And if Collingwood don't like it, well, they can lump it.
Well, who cares about Eddie? That's what I say. What do you say?
Yeah, I love watching. What's that show he's on?
I don't know. I don't watch it.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That's a great show. I love that show.
Never seen it.
Too easy. Now, what I thought. The idea I had here was, you know, we're down the pub. We're not down the pub, by the way. We're in a classroom at a school, so we can't drink beer. But there's always discussion about footy teams. And this year I've heard so much. I've got to say, I'm not a real football fan. I don't go to football very often. But
yes, he does. He comes to Port games for me occasionally. Don't listen to that.
I have been to the Port games. I really enjoy them, but that's a while ago. I remember back in it was the mid-90s, I got invited down to talk to the people at the lunch before the game. And I hadn't been to footy for ages. And I went outside, I sat in the members to watch. And the thing that surprised me at the time was how abusive the supporters were to their own players.
Wow.
And that might be a normal thing, but to me it really shocked me. I just assumed that the supporters would be behind all their players and encouraging them. But I thought, wow, this really amazed me that how abusive their own supporters can be to their own players. And I hear that a lot. And this year I've heard so much about the Crows and Port. And I just wanted to get some supporters in to see how they're feeling about their teams.
Yeah, look, I'm interested to hear you two guys of your opinion on that. But I go to Central District games, and one of the things that irks me is when I see Central supporters abusing our players as well. So I'm staggered. It seems to be something in society that's just developed over recent years. What are your thoughts, Sean?
Well, it has developed more so, I think, in the whole era of more social media and people thinking that their opinions count a lot more than probably what they should. Then I think people are more prone to actually making those sorts of comments. I have been known to make a couple of those comments at the Crows games, but usually that's against the umpires as opposed to against our players. It's not so much the players often. It's, a lot of structural issues on the game and game style and those sorts of things. So you sort of go, well, actually, that's not really the players sometimes. Sometimes it's coaching.
Nathan?
I don't really see too much abuse of players at the game, but I think as a Port fan, there is demand for success. There is demand for success, and that's part of the culture of the club. And John said it seeps over a bit, I think, in social media into things that people don't really want to say, but they get in some sort of conflict.
I'll ask that question because I always think, like, the debates we have, like, as passionate supporters of teams, and when your team's going well, you're excited. When they're not, we debate and argue. We have all those things with our mates and so on. But you hit on social media, and I wonder now, I've written here a note, fake news, and I just wonder if the impact of social media now is really having a much larger influence on football clubs and things like selection of players and coaches, because the pressure now on players and coaches is 24/7. Whereas before, let's go back into not long ago, it would have been in the advertiser, the news and what we saw on TV. So do you think now that because of social media and this ability to share our opinions, that builds up and the clubs take notice of that?
And one of the things is just recently there's been the talk about Eddie Betts, you know, going to Carlton, staying there, going here, going there. And, some of the feeds you've got on social media have been he's definitely going to Carlton or he's definitely staying at the Crows. So that's a good recent example. What other examples have you seen and how do you feel about it being a Crows supporter?
Well, the whole issue with those sorts of things on social media, you take it with a grain of salt, well, I do, because most of it's speculation, often not in any way, shape or form of in terms of fact. And you quite often these days get clubs even coming back a couple of days later when something's gone out and absolutely refuting, saying, where is the evidence associated with this? It's absolutely not correct. We're going in this direction or we're doing X, Y, and Z. It's very easy for people to put their opinions out and with seemingly little in the way of any fact-checking.
Yeah, now, Nathan, I just want to ask you a question about this, because you spoke before in regards to having a Facebook page, et cetera, et cetera. And, socials, yeah. And what type of read do you have on that? What are you saying?
I think it's actually the genuine, real-life journalists who are the problem. There's a 24 news cycle, and they have to fill it with speculation, and then social media feeds off that. I think if you go to the actual social media sites, most people have sort of a discussion based on what comes from the national media. They don't make up the rumours themselves, and the rumours that actually come on social media are usually from people who actually know the people, because, you know, we're in South Australia, it's a small place, you know, so those ones tend to be true. It's the ones that are wind-ups come in from the likes of the Victorian media or from Bloody Jar and in his craziness that started. Last year, I actually set Jarman up a beauty, because I started the Clarkson for the Crows rumour. And he ran with it. And I don't know if you
remember. You were the source.
I was a source for that. And if you remember, that really took off. That was me.
Well, I suppose, who wouldn't want Clarkson? I mean,
no, exactly.
He won a premiership with Central, didn't he?
Play with
him. You make an interesting point, and I looked up some information to prepare for today. Now, we've done this before, but looking at Fox Footy, okay, and they do their predictions at the start of the year, and I've also got from the AFL writers. Now, Damien Barrett, who everyone knows as the newsbreaker, he had Adelaide, and like this is what you're saying, he had Adelaide pre-season as premiers, right, and he had Port Adelaide being 13th. Now, if you go through that list...
But Barrett, he's the prime example of the terrible, terrible journalism that we have.
But this is the worry. If you've got people like this who people listen... These are the professionals, right? So in Fox Footy... They are. Adelaide, all of them had Adelaide in the top five. So 15 votes, that was the most votes for any of the clubs. Richmond, who finished third. Melbourne, these experts had Melbourne, who finished 17th. West Coast were 5th, Adelaide 11th, and Collingwood 4th. Now, these are the experts from Fox Footy, all of them, putting their votes together. So they're saying before the season starts, Adelaide top 5. Damien Barrett, who everyone would say, everyone would look to, is saying Adelaide premiers. Now, you go through all that list of AFL, and really everyone at Adelaide in the top 4 or 5, and Port were all in like the lower part of some 9th onwards. Now, that's what because that concerns me, because all of a sudden as a Crows supporter, do you think, oh great, Crows are in for a big year? Because that was a real feeling of that beginning of this season, that Crows were going to be the big thing. Well,
Crows should have been, because they had a pretty soft draw, and they didn't have a particularly good year last year, and therefore you would expect that there'd be some get up and go and some desire to make amends for a previously bad year. But it hasn't been the case. Too slow, inaccurate kicking, and towards the end of the year, seemingly a number of times in the second half, a lack of desire were the things that killed us off. I don't know what happened during the bye. Maybe they had another one of those camps in Queensland or something, but it didn't go very well after that.
I think Port for the opposite. The expectations were very low during the year, very low at the start of the year, and I think most people expected
the experts certainly had Port finishing 9th, 10th, 11th, even down to 14th.
What was disappointing as a Port fan was the manner in which we played. It was boring football, and we Matt just pumping the ball into the 50, and the ball just coming straight back out all the time. There was no fun there. There was no fun in watching it. We'd have been happy to finish 13th, but actually see a coherent game plan and see something interesting happening. But that just wasn't the case, and that's why the big call for Hinkley out is happening.
That type of football sort of infiltrated the SNFL as well. I see that all the time, and it is, like as you say, it's not very attractive footy, and unfortunately, it's a. It's a status quo with a lot of AFL teams.
It's football by numbers.
And Adelaide plays sideways way too often, and it moves that ball too slowly. And the alternative is you go down the line and you kick to a contest. Unfortunately, Adelaide doesn't have many players that actually take a pack mark. The game's plan to me just doesn't stack up.
And I saw that when you said after the bye, what you noticed after the bye, that Adelaide seemingly took on Port's game plan from last year. And I was watching, I thought, oh, well, that's good for Port, because they ain't going to win it this year. As soon as that switch happened, it was just gone.
Yeah, you look at teams like when Western Bulldogs got up and won the flag, and you look at Richmond, the way they play, the teams that have success are the ones that take the game on and take the chances.
And they run quickly when they have to run quickly.
It's intense.
Interesting. There was some data that I saw out of the AFL back about 3 or 4 weeks ago, where Adelaide was ranked 18th, so worst in terms of average number of kilometres run, and 17th, so second worst, in the average speed per player. So when if you're that slow and you don't run that hard, then you just don't, unless you've got a really good kicking game, which Adelaide doesn't, then you're actually going to have trouble. And hence we've had trouble.
Well, gentlemen, this has been really interesting. What do you reckon?
We need to do another series.
Absolutely.
We've only touched the surface here.
Well, look, let's do a second show for next week.
Because I've got a lot of stuff here I want to talk about.
Football next week.
Well, anyway, so ends another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Sean Carlin.